Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicle podcast brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth clothing for all types of weather, all types of terrain, all types of budgets. It's clothing that just works. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. And right now they're having their winter sale. Everything is 20 to 50% off over there on the website, huntworthgear.com. Definitely go over there and check it out. If there's something that you've been looking at, everything is on sale. So now would be the time to get that. Just going to do a quick overview, kind of like a solo podcast here. Went to ATA over the weekend, helped out in the Latitude booth, and got to check out a lot of stuff. This year was pretty busy. I was there for the setup at the Latitude booth all the way through till Saturday. I actually caught a ride back with the Latitude guys because of the weather, and didn't want to have to wait and see if my flight was going to get canceled. So checked out a bunch of different stuff, and we're going to kind of go through all of that. So for me, when I am at the show, and you got to understand that this is not a consumer show, this is a dealer show. So everything there, a lot of the dealers are buying volume, and they're saying, you know, some of the people that I talked to said that the dealers were just coming up to them and saying, hey, we got people coming in the shop asking about your product, how much can we make on it? It wasn't necessarily like show me your best stuff or like whatever. It was like, how much can we make? And it wasn't any of the saddle stuff, but so. And there's a lot of things there that aren't finished. So, like, as a consumer, when we see products like the, in the past, like the Lone Wolf Custom Gear stuff that took a while to come out and they don't have exact weights. We saw, you know, a few years ago with the tethered platform, and then that finally just came out this year. You know, the Latitude sticks, and then the ordering and everything that goes on went on with that. This is a show for you to say, hey, this is what we're coming out with this year. And I think it took me maybe up until this year to kind of realize that these things are like in the final stages of production. They're going to make a couple of tweaks. I think the first time was like the Hawk micro stand that they had. And it was like, it's going to be around 6 pounds. And you're like, how do you not know what it's going to be? Well, the retailers aren't looking at this stuff like with a fine tooth comb, like all of us mobile hunters and us gear nerds. They're just looking at, will somebody buy it? And can I make some money on it? So that's just kind of an idea of like what the show is. So like when I go in there, and I had this conversation with Byron a little bit, saying, what do I think is going to be some of the changes? Because there's only so many things that you can do in this space. And I think maybe I'm like far enough into it where, even though I'm a gear guy, like I really have a pretty solid system, and I really do appreciate like my system. You know, you're going in there in the dark, you're setting up, you're climbing up to height, and you know where everything is. Everything works. Right now, I don't have too many real hiccups or things that I don't like about my system. So it's hard to go in there and say, okay, this is something that I'm going to need to have. But that being said, I always look to like the mobile gear and kind of like our hunting. And there's a couple of things in here, like one of my favorite products from the show is definitely not something that's going to be for everybody, and it just kind of has its own thing, and I'll get to that. But from the mobile hunting side, we'll just kind of go through like the major companies. So Latitude, you know, I was there with them. They had a couple of different bow holders. They had their Bite bow holder, which looks a lot like a folding, like it's the jawbone from BK Outdoors. Very similar. It's folding. It's got a gear hook on it as well. It's big enough so that you can hang your bow on there with the quiver on it. But it has something that swings out that stabilizes it, so it doesn't fall against the tree either way. So that was pretty cool, and it was very well received. They also have a J hook, really similar. It's just a wider, shorter version of, like, Tethered has one that's kind of thin and long that they were doing videos. I think Greg Godfrey did a video making one out of Kydex. So they had one of those for that style of hunter, you know, where you take your quiver off and then you hang the bow there like that. So those were the two things that they really released to the public. They do have a couple of saddles coming out, a really nice, single panel saddle, complete redesign of the Classic. So it doesn't really have any of the features that the Classic has. Super comfortable. They're looking at putting it out in two different sizes, and the regular size anyway is going to be right at $200 for that saddle. Super nice. They're coming out with a Cadillac of saddles. Really nice, super comfortable. That one's going to be more expensive, up over that $300 price range. I don't remember the exact price point on that. And then they have a couple of packs coming out. So they have like a hybrid style pack, like a very small early season scouting pack, and tons of Molly on that one. And they have a all season pack, which is a pretty good size pack with, again, covered in Molly, but it does have a removable front panel on it so that you can use it as a compression panel for all of your cold weather gear, all of that. And they also do have a tree stand suspension system. So they've got, you know, if you go back to when we were using the Molly 2 straps and attaching those to, I had them on my Lone Wolf Climber. So some really nice, robust shoulder straps and a hip belt. So those were the things that they had coming out. Really, really nice stuff. Like I said, I really like the saddles that they have, but they've got some reasons that they're not, you know, showing those off or anything at this point, but pretty cool stuff coming down the pike. Trophy Line, they won number 3 for the Innovative Product Award with their Hyperlite sticks and platform. So another example of, you know, having everything all set, but the prototype that's there isn't what's going to come out. And that's not a knock on Trophy Line. Their platforms, and I think they may have had one that was correct, shipped there, but the material is Magnite. So wasn't familiar with it. They were telling me about it, that it is like a magnesium alloy. If you've seen the Expedition bows, their new Expedition, I shot one at TAC last year, and that Expedition did come out with a couple different axle to axle length versions of that. They had like a 30 or 30 and a half last year, and like a 33, and they have like a 31 and a 36 and a 33 now. They just have some other length options, but the material is super, super light and it's super strong, but it starts out as a powder and they can cast it. So they electrify it and then they can flow it to cast it, or they can crush it into a block, a billet, and machine everything out of it. So this was all machined out of that. So their sticks were machined and they machined the platform, but the platform base is going to be cast. So they couldn't have the holes where they needed them. So they can't give you an actual weight on it. So that's not like cloak and dagger. They're trying to hide anything. It's just simply saying, look, the process that we made it isn't going to be the final process, and it's going to have texture and all of that. And it's really light. Going to be in the, I think in the $300 range. And then their sticks are, they look very similar as far as the shape of the Latitude sticks, and they nest together a little bit differently. Like the way that I prefer them to nest, if you've been paying attention to the podcast for a long time, I like sticks that stack up instead of out. Now with the Latitude sticks, I don't really have a problem with that because it's very minimal. But the Trophy Line ones, because of the material that they're made out of, are skeletonized steps. And then the standoff goes right through there. And then the standoffs actually stack up together with like incredible tolerances. So I was talking to Nick about that, and he said you can put hockey tape on there and they still nest together, but man, they nest together super, super tight where the standoffs are. There's plenty of room on the sticks themselves for stealth stripping or anything like that, because they are metal. They do ting, but the attachment method, they have wings that are machined in there that come off. They girth hitch on one side, just like the Latitude sticks, but instead they're using a USA type attachment that they actually girth hitch the loop on the prusik, and then they tighten it up that way. And it's a little different. It's a thinner line with a thicker prusik instead of the other way around that we're used to. And so it's the same ratio, and Nick said that makes it just as strong, but easier to unlock. So just a little bit different. When you see those, take a look at them. And that's just something. So, you know, really neat, really nice. They pack up really nice. I think that pack of those is going to be $450 basically for four sticks. And so when I first heard the price, I thought it was for a pack of three. So I was like, man, that is expensive. But they're right in that same ballpark as a B stick, or any of like the tethered one sticks by the time you get done with it. And they're about that same, like 16, 17 inch step length. There is a little bit of flex side to side. So when you take a Latitude stick, same shape. I mean, I keep saying that only because it's the only thing. I mean, that's what they remind me of. If, like, you were to make one of those out of metal, how would you improve it to like save weight? And I think that's exactly what Trophy Line did. I think they did a great job, except for it's just a flat step with a standoff instead of having everything into step and standoff being identical. But they do have a little bit of flex side to side when you grab them. So we'll see how that plays out over hard use. But Trophy Line is definitely doing, you know, their due diligence. So I'm not trying to dog that. I'm just saying that that's just making an observation. And then they do have their Venatic saddle with an Amsteel bridge now, and in First Light camo. And I'm kind of going through that. And then so Tethered launched their Grit series. So if that name sounds familiar, you can imagine how that went over. But they said they were working on the name for quite some time, and they couldn't tell anybody about it. So they have their everything is called the Workhorse series. So they have a saddle kit with the ropes, the carabiners, and the saddle is similar to their lockdown. They had to name it. I think maybe it's called the Hyperlock now. Similar saddle with the pouches. It doesn't have the yoke system, although you can use the yoke system with it. $299 for that kit. Kind of like a rebranded Predator platform with a different standoff. It's going to be around $175. And then they have a four pack of sticks. That's $199. And the sticks are pretty nice sticks. The way that they nest together, underneath the top stick or the top step, they have something that grabs onto the stick behind it, and it is pretty slick. It's a really nice way that they stack, and then their like cable management system or whatever. They have like a little mini button on the bottom where it wraps around, and works out pretty slick. So they're going to sell a lot of those sticks. I think that all that stuff is just going to be for retail, not available on the website. I think it's all made out overseas. But you're able to, you know, have a complete saddle kit for $299, $199, so you're $675. You'll have an entire saddle kit that's available retail. So, you know, it's one of those things where how do you feel about that? Is it just, you know, rebranded stuff to make money, or getting saddle gear to the masses? You know, you guys can decide. But one of the best ways that I heard it put was, you know, for a long time in a big box store, you could go, if you knew anything about saddle, if you didn't know anything about saddle hunting, but you had heard about it, the only option that you had was Hawk in a big box store. So now, at the very least, what they're doing, and if they can get it into like a Bass Pro or something like that, it will be saddle hunting gear made by saddle hunting fanatics next to Hawk. So you're going to have a better option there. So, I mean, that's the best way that I kind of saw it put, and, you know, makes sense from that perspective. One of the other things, you know, Trophy Line has their sister company, Redline, and Redline, one of the things, one of my favorite products, that I think is kind of for everybody is the Redline came out with their new quiver is really nice. It's an upgraded one from the one that I have. And, the arrows kind of go in where the arrows go in, how they go in is on an angle. I was talking to him about, I've left arrows all over the country, because the stuff that I go through and my arrows always come out of the quiver, not just the Redline, but, I did have arrows falling out of the one that I have left and right, because I'm using the micro diameter arrows, and these ones go in, at an angle. So it's kind of, and it goes forward. So as you're moving through the woods, it's less likely to come out. So they did think about that, and it's like $79 for a really nice quiver, you know, compared to, some of the other options that are out there. So really like that, but they took, you know, some Matthews has that, the square, I can't think of what it's called now. All I can think is like Hyperlock, but, the bridge lock, I think stabilizers, the rectangular ones. So what Redline did is they have a stabilizer that's a similar shape to that, that I believe does fit in the bridge lock system. And they have their mount that allows you to adapt that style stabilizer to any bow. So you can just screw it into the front and use that stabilizer. And if you were to buy that, you could, and you had a Matthews bow, it would fit in your bridge lock. So it's just kind of like a middle finger to Matthews, I think, for their, you know, few hundred dollar stabilizers. It gives you another option at a much lower price point. I think like $80 and $100 for the different offerings. And they have, they're able to, they put one of those on a back bar, all different stuff. So, and they did redo their torch sight. They have one without a light because, you know, so it's legal in all states and you can add it. Now, why it's still called the torch, I don't know, cause it doesn't have a light. So, but other than that, it's a pretty nice sight. So one of those things that was pretty cool. So that stabilizer was one of the things that I thought was super cool from that. I'm going through, I got a list here of all the stuff here. a few other things from the products. The number one product was the Stealth rig. And actually, one of our Patreons had sent me information about it before we even went down there. So checking it out, real similar to like the concept of the Bow Spider, except for it's a magnetic plate and then a removable magnet that goes on your bow. And it's got a quick detach so you can move it around. And then a bino harness that's coupled with that magnetic plate. So the bino harness has a pretty good spot for your phone, your binos, your release. It's got an accessory pouch with it. It's pretty cool. That won the number one innovative product at ATA. And it's one of those things where if I was the Bow Spider guy, I would be pretty upset because it's a really similar concept, just magnetic versus, going in that holster. But it's pretty cool. It's a very strong magnet. It's a little bit pricey. The whole setup, like so with the bino harness, the pouches, and the magnet is $275. The magnet itself is $150. And then just the like bino harness straps and plate, if you want to use it on your bino harness, is $150. So it's a little bit pricey, but all in all, it is pretty slick, veteran-owned, Marine Corps machine gunner designed it. So, veteran-owned, so super cool, always to see veterans in the space and especially to see him doing well. The number two product was the Annihilator broadhead. This broadhead is a single bevel. It's a bit wider and it's got two bleeders on each side machined into it. And those are designed to direct the broadhead straight through the tissue and prevent the spinning of the single bevel, which I thought was the point of a single bevel. And we see that with like the Havoc, which is supposed to, it stops at with the bleeders, it stops rotation, any bleeders on a single bevel. Now the Helix have that too. So I think it's just kind of where we're going with increased cutting surface area. But so that won number two. So it was the Stealth rig, the broadhead, and then the Trophy Line stuff. And everybody was saying they couldn't let Saddle Hunting stuff have it 3 years in a row because it was Tethered, then it was Latitude, and then Trophy Line came in third. So just one of those things. Magnus broadheads also threw into the fray, 150 grain broadhead, 59,000 thick, same lifetime warranty. It has, I don't know, I guess when I see this shape of broadhead, I always think about the company, those big red bone broadheads, but it's that shape. So it isn't like the triangular, like 3-to-1 ratio as some of the other stuff from Magnus, but all the same, they're in there, no bleeders, super sharp, but that's what they've got. So the product that I thought was the most interesting is super expensive and only relevant to guys that can use an e-bike, that are using an e-bike. But the company called Compass Carts came out with this e-bike trailer, and the trailer is what it is, but the way that they have applied it, so it comes with a trailer hitch that is standalone, and then it has a track on it. So you just roll this cart up there and lift it up, and it slides on super easy, and then it locks onto this. And you can put a e-bike rack on top of it. You can put a kayak rack on top of it, for, obviously not when you're traveling down the road, but for transporting your kayak. It's pretty cool. And I think about it for, and if you had a deer in there, you could just do the same thing. So you just roll your deer up to the trailer hitch, tilt it back, pull it up onto the track. It clicks in, you're all set. So you've got a bunch of options. And I think about like guys like Frank, right? So Frank's got his e-bike. He's killed a deer. You know, he's got to get his cart. He's got to get his bike. He's got all this stuff that he's got to do. Obviously, he's going to have some help, but still, I mean, the guy's 70 years old, still out there getting after it, still using his climber. And a way to transport all of this gear and not have to lift all these heavy things that he's have to do, right? So that's just one of the many options out there in carts. But like I said, it's pretty slick. And the way that it's set up, the way that it goes on there, you know, if you got a lot of money or you're using an e-bike and you're struggling with these things, definitely look that up. Like I said, it's Compass Carts, but I think for everything with a bike rack, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $1,200. So, I mean, I guess if you're spending $3,000 or $4,000 on an e-bike, you're going to spend money on a trailer. This might be the way to do it, or it might be just something to look at from an idea standpoint and look at it and say, okay, I'm going to adapt my cart to do this. Cause the idea is there. Pretty awesome. One of the other main things, I shot a bunch of the bows and I got some ideas on that. Big Shot, they redid their hunter target, and that's kind of all I got out of them with their purchase of Delta McKenzie. That booth was just insane. Like trying to get over there and talk to Hunter and Brandon and Al, man, they were busy. And talking to them for the brief time that I did, that's definitely a good thing. So one of the major things that was there was this from GSM. I think it's Spy Point, the 360 camera. And I may have him on the podcast to talk about that if there's interest. But a 360-degree trail camera. And so I think what most people thought that was going to be a like a 360 cam technology, right? And then what do you do for uploading it? Does it take more data? How do you point it? What goes on? Well, that turns out that's not exactly what it is. It is a 360-degree trail camera. So it has six different sensors all around it. And it has one camera that rotates in there depending on what sensor goes off. So for us, like I said, back to that whole nitpicky ounces, final product, fit and finish type thing, we are looking at, you know, it's going to make noise. There's going to be bugs that get in there and gum up those gears, moving that camera around. Like a woodpecker is going to see that movement and come and peck out the glass, like it does on any of our other trail cameras. But this is the first gen, and this is, I think, where they see things moving. So basically what it does is it just takes a picture from that sensor. So you're not getting any, you know, additional data, anything like that. And they did just decrease the cost of their data plans, he was telling me on that one. So I thought it was interesting. It wasn't at all what I expected. Strange concept with a lot of moving parts, but I think a lot of guys are really going to like it for, you know, you were saying early season, you know, over the summer, putting it out in your food plot and kind of seeing where the deer are coming in from, all that sort of thing. So that was something that was a really talked about thing there at the show. And then, so I shot the Expedition bows, I shot the Prime, that RVX, and I think they're lower end bow is called the Ronin, which is really a great bow. But you know, I always shied away from the Primes because back when they had, the dual or the quad cams, I guess, you know, John was like, yeah, I can't tune that. I'm not messing with that. So didn't even, entertain him because of the guy that's working on my bows isn't going to be able to do it. You know, that's not my jam. So, that Revax was a really nice shooting bow. I don't know if I'm getting old, but, really nice, smooth draw cycle, but there's like one point in it where it's like, it seemed like it was really tough, for me at 70 pounds, which is, like I said, maybe I'm getting old, but it was just different. But smooth draw cycle, nice bow, shooting them with nothing on there. You know, you get to see really how they operate. Shot the Expedition bows, shooting that, Magnite riser bow is completely unfair, 'cause it makes every other bow that they have there feel like a brick. That's a great shooting bow. I said the same thing. I shot it at ATA or at TAC. And I told Greg Litzinger, I was like, man, if that thing wasn't $2,000, I would certainly consider it. And then I went down to the Bear booth and shot some of those bows just for fun. And the Whitetail Max is a super great, like, value in bows. Got the Echo Cam system and shoots great. They have the newer version of that Bear Alaskan that shoots pretty good. I didn't shoot their flagship bow, but that was pretty good. And I didn't get a chance to go over there and shoot the PSCs, but like I say, for me, it's really hard to like switch off of what I'm doing. Although that Prime is a nice bow. I would consider that one, or that Whitetail Max. I can't justify spending $2,000 on one of the other ones, but I would definitely go down to your bow shop and take a look at those new offerings. And then where Latitude was located, and this is one of the interesting things about these shows, is you never know who you're going to be near. So we're doing this spring bear hunt, and I'm trying to debate on whether I need to get a new pair of boots or not. And we were right by the Hanvog or Hanwag boots that you may have seen. A really super, super nice guy in there, Will, and tried on some of the boots, told us all about them, and definitely worth looking into. You know, if you think that the Crispies are a little bit too stiff, or you know, you want to try something different, these are more like they have all things, so they have similar ones to like the Crispies, as well as all the way up to like a mountaineering style look, full toe cap wrap like the Kenetrex. Check those out. The one that I really liked was the Ancash 2, and then the Banks line. Those are boots that I think I'm going to definitely get into this year. And then on the other side, so apparently this bow case, so Flambeau, they have what's called their formula case. And we weren't at ATA last year, so I didn't get to see this. And I don't think I probably would have seen it if I wasn't right next to them. But it's an amazing case. So, like, it's a little bit expensive, but I think everything is. So I previously bought like one of those Plano, like, black and yellow cases. They're like $100, you know, thinking that was going to be like a good enough case. And I, you know, Frank and Ernie both have the matching SKB cases, and they're like $300 plus. And so this one's kind of like right in the middle. It's at $180, but it's like airport approved. It's got a pressure release valve in it, which is really interesting, because you can actually stand on this and it will change shape, where like those SKBs are like, you know, so it's kind of like what do you say, like a guitar case, or like luggage for a band, right? But this one is like kind of a flexible material, but when you stand on it, that pressure release valve just slowly pushes the air out of it. And so the guy there, Dante, he was standing on it. It was super cool. It sets up so like nothing but the edges of your limb touches the bottom of the case. So I've said this a bunch of times before, like in jest, but like, I'm not the maintenance guy on my bow. And there's been many times where I'll go from a snowy or rainy hunt, just put it in the case, and then it freezes. And the next day when I'm taking it out, I'm pulling foam out with it. And there's, if you look at my bow case right now, there's field points and moleskin and Allen wrenches and all stuff like free floating around there. Like, it makes John sick. But this case has like an accessory pouch that snaps in there, and you can move the attachment points for the bow left and right. And then it's got Night Eyes, actually the brand name Night Eyes gear ties in it to hold down the riser of your bow. Just a really well thought out case. And it, what was funny is that these guys had, just to kind of showcase it, they had some puck lights mounted in there. And they're like, no, those, we're like, those come in there? That's awesome. And they're like, no, it's just from a couple things from Walmart. So you can mount those in there, and it's pretty awesome. So that's definitely something that I'm going to be looking into, because I'm not happy with my bow case. And that one right there seems like a no-brainer as far as like the balance between like super high-end and functionality. Like it's definitely gonna hold your bow. It's gonna keep it safe. It's got spaces for everything. You can keep your quiver on, you can keep your sight on, all of that stuff. And like I said, it's got spots for your rangefinder, spots for your releases, spots for all your accessories. So that was something that I thought was really cool, and I think that went over really well for all the guys that were in the booth, you know, because we, you know, in between people or whatever, you can go over there and chat with the guys that are around you. So that was super cool. Overall, a great trip. I'm glad that that I was able to make it. I'm going to be headed to Harrisburg for the last weekend here coming up in February. So if anybody's out there, you can see some of the stuff that we talked about from Latitude. Get your hands on it. And many of the other companies, I'm sure Tether's going to be there. I'm sure a lot of this stuff's going to be there. Be your first opportunity. And then tell me what you think. So that's kind of where I was at with the show and checking all that stuff out. And with the mobile hunting stuff, not a new product, but that XOP Retrograde, I did go over and check that out for hybrid hunting. And that's one other thing. I'm sorry. So, one of the things that I felt like kind of missed the mark was the Novix, hybrid saddle hunting tree stand. They, have a saddle platform and this hybrid stand that, you know, when I think of Novix, I think of the original Lone Wolves. I think of cast, and these are all tubular and extruded metal and welded. And it just doesn't look like up to the quality that we're used to seeing from Novix, and you know, a lot of the stuff that's in the space. So it wasn't anything that, you know, any of the hardcore mobile hunters that I know, the gear guys would look at and say, man, I gotta have that. So it was interesting, to say the least. And if you can find any information on it, I think if you go to Novix's Instagram, I think Kurt Geyer, did like a quick little, thing saying, hey, this is what this is. But yeah, you take a look at it and make your own decision. But I looked at that XOP Retrograde, which is like the same kind of shape and size as that Windwalker that I've got. And I think I'm going to pick one of those up just to check it out for the hybrid hunting type thing. But anyways, like I say, that's kind of my take on what we saw at the show. If there was anything that you saw and that I didn't mention, or if you got any other questions, feel free to reach out to me. Love talking gear. Going to do a little bit more of that this year. But yeah, so appreciate it, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.